Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. My name's Chad, and my wife Erica's sitting down the front here. This is our family. We have four kids. They didn't come this morning because they're helping out with the kids program at Suburban, our home church. But for those of you who don't know us, we have been in Thailand actually for the last 10, 11 years, and Werribee Baps has been a really key part of that ministry for us. You guys have been supporting us that whole time. And while we were in Thailand, one of the key things that we felt God had called us to do there was to bind up the brokenhearted through counseling and art-related ministries that my wife Erica does, and in many other ways. If you want to find out a bit more about that, come and talk to me at the end. But God has actually called us back here to Australia. That was our house in Thailand. And he's brought us back here actually permanently for now, for a whole lot of different reasons. But we feel that the call that he put on us to bind up the brokenhearted is still very much in effect. And so here in Australia, we are sort of settling in still and finding our feet. But one really exciting thing that I want to share with you before I start to talk to you this morning about faith and anxiety, there we are, our house is just up the road actually, just next to the plaza. And we feel that God is asking us to continue binding up the brokenhearted here. Erica is working with autistic kids at an autistic school. And I'm getting ready to begin a new counseling ministry here in this area. So this is us. Loftus is in Australia now. And we're going to call this Mend Family Care. And I'm really excited to bring it to you this morning before I give you the sermon, because Werribee Baps is going to be really a really key partner in this ministry. The Bridge, which is, in case you don't know, the nonprofit ministry of this church, will be sort of hosting this ministry. And I'm looking forward to partnering with this church to provide counseling and other sorts of care in the community. And you can see my details there if you want to get in touch and talk to me more about this, or if you want to come and see me for counseling, or if you know somebody you'd like to refer. I'm really excited about sort of working together with Werribee Baptist Church on this, because I feel that there's a lot of need in this community for people to receive professional care, but also there's a lot of need among the people that I work with and that I am working with already now to receive care from their community. And so I'm really excited to have this kind of a partnership where, you know, the church can provide care to people, professional care to people, sort of as a gift, to provide subsidized counseling. But then also, I'm able to send people back to the church to receive community care from you guys. So please, I don't have time to like really get into this right now, but I'd love to talk to you more about it. So come and talk to me at the end if you're interested. And hopefully I'll be back, you know, as we go along here to talk to you more about this ministry and what it means and how you guys can partner with us. But I'm here this morning because I want to talk to you about anxiety and faith. I don't know if you felt this way, but it feels like anxiety is increasingly sort of part of my life. It's all around me. It feels like almost everyone I know has been touched by this in some way. I don't know if that's been your experience. I know so many people who have been diagnosed with anxiety, who are taking medication for anxiety, people who are using the word anxiety more and more in their lives. And, you know, I keep wondering about this. Does anxiety point to, or is it a sign that I lack faith? Does that mean, if that's true, that anxiety is a sin? What I want to do this morning is kind of look a little bit in Scripture, look particularly at Jesus' teaching, and see if we can get to the bottom of this. And I also want to talk to you a little bit about this topic from my perspective as a counselor, because I work with a lot of people professionally, not only in my personal life, but professionally, who are dealing with anxiety in various ways. So let's take a look. Okay, so first of all, here's a really famous quote from Jesus during his famous sermon on the Mount. "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Okay, so here he says, do not be anxious. Okay, seems pretty straightforward. Let's look at another passage. Okay, this one's not from Jesus, this is from Paul, but possibly an even more famous quote about this. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Okay. I think I've definitely disobeyed this quite a few times in my life. I don't know about you. It's not looking too good for me, I must say. Here's another quote from Jesus. He said to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." I'd say, judging from these verses that I've just quoted to you, it's looking pretty good for the case that faith and anxiety are not compatible. And it's looking pretty bad for me, because I have to tell you that I have been overwhelmed with anxiety on a number of occasions. I've lived, actually, with many, many worries, with a troubled heart. And not just me, but lots of people who are close to me. And this isn't just, you know, a past sin that I did before I was a Christian. It's been a part of my life even in recent days. So if it leads to unbelief, then anxiety must be a sin, right? Honestly, even if you're not part of the church, even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't care about what Jesus or Paul had to say, I think that there's a sense in which anxiety is kind of a sin in our broader culture too. It's like a cultural sin. It shows me that there's something wrong with me. People outside the church certainly wouldn't use the word sin, but I think that they would say that if I'm not happy, if I'm not sort of believing in myself, you know, or something along those lines, then I'm not really living my best life. I'm not achieving my potential. I'm not living out, you know, all that I could be. And in that sense, it's sort of wrong. Being anxious is kind of shameful. Maybe more than it being wrong, maybe I could say it shows that there's something wrong with me. It's a disease, right? It shows a deficit in us. But I have bad news. It gets even worse. This is what Jesus said to Martha. You remember this story? Jesus was teaching at Martha's house, and Mary, Martha's sister, was sitting at Jesus' feet just soaking in his teaching, which was, you know, kind of an unusual thing actually for a woman to do. Whereas Martha was doing, you know, her more traditional role. She was in the kitchen. I'm not sure if they had a kitchen, but she was in the part of the house where they prepared the food, furiously working, getting everything ready, being a good hostess. And she said, you know, "Tell my sister to stop being a lazy slob and get in here and help me." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary." So here again, Jesus is telling Martha, don't be troubled. Only listening, sitting at my feet, that's the only thing that's necessary. And honestly, this is making it even worse. This is making the case even worse, because I don't think Martha would have told you that she was troubled or that she was anxious. I think Martha would have told you, no, I'm not anxious. My sister has a real problem. My sister is lazy. And this actually is something that I experience in my life even more than what normally we would call anxiety. This is like the implicit kind of anxiety. This isn't the time, you know, this isn't the kind of anxiety that causes my heart to race, or that, you know, I break out in sweats, or I lay awake at night furiously panicking about various things. This is the kind of anxiety that in some ways dictates my actions, that influences me often without me even being aware of it. This is the kind of anxiety that, you know, for me, prods me at times to work extra hours because it says, you're worthless if you don't achieve something with your life. This is the kind of anxiety that whispers in my ears, do you see what she did there? You failed as a father. And then I find myself yelling at my poor daughter because she didn't pick up her coat. This is the kind of anxiety that has me gossiping with my friend over something the pastor maybe probably did, because it tells me something terrible is going to happen if I go and talk to the pastor directly. It keeps me from dropping money, you know, into a beggar's hat, or putting money into the offering plate, or, you know, making a bank transfer on a Sunday because it says, the cost of living is so high right now. What about petrol, electricity, you know? Don't get me started on the housing market. This is anxiety constantly in my ear. It reassures me that, you know, if I give my poor wife the silent treatment, that it's the right thing to do because she didn't sufficiently appreciate my sacrifice in staying home and babysitting our kids while she was away. Otherwise, says anxiety, how will you get the love and respect she owes you? And I think Martha was influenced by this exact same kind of anxiety. I kind of imagine it whispering in her ear, Jesus is a great teacher, probably the Messiah himself. What if he's not impressed by your pathetic hosting efforts? What if you humiliate your whole family? And probably lots of other things besides. So let's just pause here for a second because I want to talk to you a little bit more about this kind of anxiety and how it works and what it means. Okay, so I have here, if you're wondering what these little balls are, these represent molecules, everybody. And this little video is showing you how heat transfer works. So essentially, heat is when molecules in anything start to vibrate more quickly than they usually do, and this creates energy. And when you put something that's hot, where the molecules are vibrating, when you put it near something else that's not as hot, the molecules vibrate and they bounce against the molecules of the cool thing that's not as hot, and they start to make them vibrate. And that's how the heat is transferred. So you might be saying, what the heck has this got to do with anxiety? Well, first of all, let me talk about this kind of anxiety, this thing that's whispering in our ear. We're not just talking about the psychiatric diagnosis, the clinical diagnosis of anxiety. That has a lot of very specific criteria that go with it. I think we're talking about something a lot more broad, something that in many ways leads to the clinical diagnosis of anxiety, but probably affects a lot more of us than those of us who have an anxiety diagnosis. And this kind of anxiety is not just an individual thing. It's a lot like this thermal energy transfer that you see in this video. Maybe you're feeling anxious or out of control about something. Maybe it's the economy, you know, maybe it's the environment, what's happening with the world. Maybe it's the new songs we're singing in church that you don't like. Or maybe it's the terrible job that a plumber did putting in your shower. Maybe you don't even realize that you're anxious, but in a sense, you start to vibrate, just like these molecules. And this vibration, it shows itself in your interactions with the people around you. Maybe you'll gossip, maybe you'll fret, maybe you'll panic buy toilet paper. You know, maybe you'll stay up late at night working. All the while, probably telling yourself, this is a perfectly reasonable way to react, given the situation. And then those vibrations will rub against others. You'll sort of bump into other people as you do this, by the way you talk to them, or by the way you don't talk to them, maybe. And they'll start to vibrate too, because your actions are causing them to feel more stressed, more tense, more worried, making them feel less safe. It's like you're transferring your energy to them. Or maybe they're transferring their energy to you. Maybe their constant worrying about what's going on in the world is getting you sort of vibrating. And what happens is you and your family or your community, perhaps the church community, all starts to heat up. And anxiety begins to spread throughout the system, as we call it, or throughout the community. This happens the most, I think, when things are changing, which is something that's happening a lot actually right now in our world. I think change is a big part of our lives at the moment. It starts to make sense to me why so many people are expressing a sense of being anxious. When things go wrong, we're getting more and more disconnected from nature. We're living our lives more and more in cities and in homes and on screens. You know, the world isn't going, the environment isn't going that well. We have all these diseases spreading amongst us. So there's lots of reasons why we might be vibrating against each other. And then think about the internet, right? The internet spreads out the points of contact between us so that our vibrations can affect way more people. And we can be affected by the vibrations of way more people than we ever would be without it. With the internet, we can learn what's going on for people thousands of miles away from us. We can learn all the things that are going wrong in their lives, all the things that they're stressed and worried about, all the ways that they're sort of vibrating. Or, in another sense, we can find out all the ways that they're supposedly having the perfect time, having a perfect life. They're supposedly doing everything right. We can see all the ways that we're not measuring up, that our lives are not together. The internet has been really, really good at keeping us safe from spreading diseases, right? We can stay in our home, we can work from home, we can study from home, all these things. It's like it insulates us from spreading disease. But the internet is like an anxiety super spreader. Sometimes I think we kind of need to quarantine ourselves from the internet to protect us or insulate us a little bit from these vibrations. So, with this kind of anxiety, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, affects all of us actually, does this mean that we're all living in a constant state of sin, of doing the wrong thing? Because there are so many reasons to be anxious. And there's so many anxious people around us, vibrating against us, getting us worked up. How could we possibly resist this? Let's look at another quote from Jesus. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." Jesus was actually troubled. I think this is important. Because, you know, there were so many of those other verses where he told his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." But his heart was troubled. Just like his disciples, just like Martha. What should we make of this? In his sort of troubled, anxious state, Jesus even thought of trying to escape from his duty, from the thing he was supposed to do. So if Jesus was troubled, surely anxiety can't be a sin, right? So I think we can take that off the table. But anxiety could convince us to sin. It was trying to convince Jesus, I think, to run away from his responsibility, to run away from what he was supposed to do. I've noticed myself that anxiety sort of pushes me all the time to do things that later on I really wish I wouldn't have done. Things that go against who I want to be as a person, as a father, as a husband. Things that go against who I want to be as a follower of Christ. I've noticed too that the more I try to run away from anxiety, from that sort of these negative feelings, these vibrations, the stronger they seem to get. Jesus, when he was troubled, he didn't actually run away from it. He didn't resist it. He said, "No, for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." This is how he responded to his anxiousness in that moment. It was almost like he was saying, "I'm not going to give in to what anxiety wants me to do, but my troubled spirit points me to what is most important, the whole reason that I came here." What if we thought of anxiety not as a sin or as doing the wrong thing? What if we thought of it as pointing us to what really matters? What if we saw anxiety as an invitation to take these things that are really important to us, these things that really matter to us, to God? I can get the next one. There we go. This is the verse that I read to you before. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus says to his disciples. Believe in God, believe also in me. What if Jesus is not saying here, well, if you believed in me, you wouldn't be anxious, which is how I've so often taken this. What if he's not saying that? What if instead he's saying, you're anxious, I know, but you can believe instead? When we look at it in that way, anxiety becomes, again, not a sin or doing the wrong thing. It becomes a call back to what really matters. Because we're only troubled when we most need to believe. We're only anxious when we're most in need of a hand to hold. And here we see this idea again. Why are you troubled? Jesus says. This is after he had risen from the dead and appeared to his disciples, and they were all really freaked out. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. So Jesus, it seems like he's sort of chiding them, you know, for being troubled, for being anxious. But then there's an invitation. It's almost like he's saying, since you are troubled, I can tell you're going to want to draw closer to me. You want to see for yourself that I'm here. I'm real. I'm with you. Come in. Come closer. Their troubled hearts, their anxiety. For Jesus, it was an invitation for them to draw closer to him. So, what if anxiety were not a sign of a lack of faith, wasn't pointing to our weakness? Or rather, it is pointing to our weakness and pointing to how much we need God. What if anxiety was actually a sign or an invitation to remember that we can come closer, we can draw in, we can touch, and we can see that he is there, he is with us. If I'm working too much, you know, because anxiety says, I won't be a valuable person otherwise, then anxiety is also telling me something that's really important, that I want to be valued. I need love. I need appreciation. But I don't have to try and get it, you know, by manipulating others into giving it to me because I work so hard, I do such a good job, I do my work so perfectly. That method is kind of like the vibrating molecules. It gets me sort of bouncing into other people, raising their anxiety and raising my own anxiety. And it leaves me with no margin at all to support and sort of absorb the vibrations of the other people around me who are struggling with their fear and their anxiety. It gets us all worked up together. So before I end here, I want to just show you really quickly a very simple way that you can begin to think about anxiety in this way. You can begin to interact with anxiety in this way as an invitation to notice what's important, to notice what matters, and to draw closer. The first step in this really simple little process is just to acknowledge what we're feeling. I think really often anxiety is pointing us towards other feelings, or it sort of covers over all these other feelings that we might have that we're trying to ignore, we're trying to sort of will away. You know, if we think that our anxious feelings, our frustrations, if we think that those are wrong, that those are sinful, our tendency is going to be to pretend they're not there. No. Nothing's wrong here. Everything's fine. I'm okay. Actually, that tends to empower those feelings. It tends to intensify them or increase them. So, you know, recently, one of my kids was eating some sweets, some junk food, and I made a snarky comment to them, just a little under my breath comment, and my son kind of lost it at me. He was like, oh my gosh, Dad, why are you always making comments about the food I eat? Why do you have to act this way? It was like, even though it didn't may not have seemed like it to me, I was sort of feeling anxious, and I vibrated against him, and it caused him to vibrate even faster. And then we had this sudden fight about how I was always complaining about what he ate. And when he said, "Dad, you're being so passive aggressive," I was like, "Oh, actually, he's right. I'm being passive aggressive." And the first thing I did was I just stopped for a second and I thought to myself, what's going on here for me? What am I feeling right now? And I realized I was feeling worried. I was feeling anxious, maybe even a little bit ashamed that as a father, you know, I would let my kids eat this kind of food. I was starting to feel like I was a failure just from this little thing. And I said it out loud. I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm sorry that I made that comment. I'm feeling worried that I'm not doing a good job as a dad." And straight away when I did that, the temperature in the room just went. The vibrations slowed way down. And we were able to have a little conversation about what had just happened. It went from, you know, 100 down to a more reasonable temperature really quickly. And that's because stopping for a moment and just acknowledging what's happening for us, what we're feeling, makes a big difference all on its own. I think Jesus sort of did this for Martha, you know. She was like, "Tell my sister to get in here and help me." But Jesus turned it back on her and he said, "Martha, you're feeling troubled and worried and anxious about many things." And if I was Martha, I probably would have been like, "What? No, I'm not. It's my sister who's the problem." But Jesus was pointing her attention to what was going on for her, the feelings that she had. And this is the first step towards helping us to sort of slow down our vibrations, so to speak, our anxiety. We can take these feelings, we can say them out loud, and then we can, if we've done that, begin to realize, what are these feelings pointing us to? What are they inviting me towards? So there's a sheet that's spread out on the seats there, and at the top of the sheet, you'll see it says, "I feel." And it has a list there, sort of some different feeling words organized into columns to help you find them. And this sheet is just a helpful little tool for those of you who are getting a little stuck thinking about what it is that you're feeling. If you're noticing yourself vibrating, if you're noticing yourself sort of being dictated to or being influenced by anxiety in the way that I've been describing, what you can do is you can stop, and if you need to, you can even look at this sheet and say, I wonder if any of these words fit for me. If none of them do, maybe you'll think of another word. And then I would encourage you to share that with someone that you trust, someone who's safe, if possible. Just say, "You know, right now I'm feeling this." And that's the first step, to say it out loud. If no one's handy, if no one you trust is available, you can kind of tell someone in your mind, in a sense. So you can, you know, for example, Erica, my wife, who's sitting on the front row, she's someone that I feel really safe with, that I really trust. If she wasn't around, what I could do is I could stop for a minute and I could almost like tell this to her in my mind. I could say, "Okay, if Erica was here, I would probably tell her, yeah, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z." It makes a big difference because not only do we tend to vibrate into each other and cause each other to feel more and more anxious, but also we can help to slow the vibrations together as well. It's something we need to do together. So this is the first step, but I don't want it to stop there because this isn't just about looking into ourselves. It's not really what I'm encouraging you to do here. What I want you to do, if you're gonna use this little simple little process, is I want you to find out what this invitation is. Remember I've been saying that anxiety could actually be an invitation for us to consider what matters. So the next step in that is to ask ourselves, what is it that I need? Now that I've acknowledged this is what I feel, what do I need? And by doing this, in a way, we're sort of saying, what does this feeling mean? What is it telling me? We can think of our feelings not just as something that's coming up out of us, out of our bodies, but as like a form of communication, telling us something that's important, pointing us to what really matters. And again, if you can't do this with someone that you trust, you know, if they're not actually there, you can kind of do this with them in your mind. But I think it's great to use that list that's on the bottom part of that sheet, again, as a prompt to start thinking about what is it that I might need from this. In the example that I was giving, you know, where I was making snarky comments to my kids because I was feeling like I wasn't doing a good job as a parent, I think what I needed there was just some reassurance. I just needed someone to reassure me, like, it's going to be okay. Now, when we say to someone what we need, it doesn't mean that they're on the hook now to give that to us. It doesn't mean that we're saying, you gotta do this for me. But just to acknowledge it can help us to find a path, again, towards what's important to us. This helps us to realize how and why we want to draw close. By drawing close to the people in our lives that we trust, we can begin to learn how to draw close to Jesus. If we think of anxiety and all the feelings that kind of sit there underneath it as something that's between us, then we can think of peace, we can think of calmness, we can think of reassurance that we receive as something that's also between us, something that we can give to each other. And if I'm able to accept anxiety as an invitation, drawing me to what's important, drawing me closer to Jesus, then I'll be able to be that calm person, that safe person for the others in my life who are vibrating, who are feeling anxious, so that they cannot be dictated to by anxiety, but can receive it also as an invitation. We can do this for each other. Our feelings don't have to toss us this way and that, getting us to do all sorts of things, getting us to sin, in fact. But actually, anxiety can be a beautiful thing that calls us back to our truest values, that calls us back to our closeness, not only to each other, but to our Lord. And this is what it looks like, you know, we can not only vibrate against each other and heat each other up, but we can also kind of cool each other down. This is the invitation for you this morning. Maybe don't think about anxiety as being something wrong with you, as being a sign that you have no faith or a sin. But see it as pointing you towards what really matters, as an invitation to draw close. Let's pray. Father, you are a gracious, loving, and eternally patient God. Lord, so often our hearts are troubled. So often we are influenced by and dictated to by an anxiety that feels, you know, impossible to get rid of or to push down. But Lord, it's so reassuring to know that when we're anxious, we don't have to feel ashamed. That our anxiety can draw us close to you, to nestle our faces in your robes. Father, I pray for everyone here that they will have a sense that you are close, that they can do that, Lord, that they will experience that from the people in their lives who will be your hands and feet. Lord, and I pray that you will also empower all of us through your Spirit to do this for each other. Because, Father, we live in a world that is just overwhelmed at the moment with anxiety, that needs us, that needs your church and the people in it to be a calm presence, to be a safe presence. So, Lord, give us the strength and the courage to be honest with each other about what we're feeling and what we need in that, Lord, so that we can begin to receive this invitation to draw close to you, Lord, and in doing that, be that calm presence. We pray for your help, because without it, we can do nothing. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.